Let's turn in the Holy Scriptures to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. My own congregation in Sioux Falls, I'm preaching a series through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the sermon tonight will be the last sermon I preached in that series on verses 19 through 21 of Matthew 6. We'll read verses 19 through 34 of Matthew 6. And then I'd also like you to put your finger at Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, where Jesus tells his disciples the parable of the wealthy fool. But first we'll read Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Begin our reading there at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If you skip down to verses 32 through 34, you see that Jesus repeats here a bit of what he says in our text in Matthew 6. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The text is verses 19 through 21 of Matthew 6. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words and grammar of our text in the original language are some of the most simple and vivid words in the entire New Testament. The language is very simple. Jesus uses very plain speech here. Literally, he does not say, lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. But he says, treasure for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and so forth. And all of his language is in the present tense, so that it is as if Jesus is watching our lives go by on a moving picture. And as he watches them go by, he gives us this instruction in our text. Do not be laying up for yourselves treasures upon earth. But as you live before me as your Lord and Savior, be laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because where your heart is, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The reason for Jesus' very simple and very direct and very, very vivid language is not difficult to understand. Because we need vivid and simple and real-life exhortations, reminders, and instruction as followers of Christ in this world and as citizens of the kingdom of heaven on how to relate to this world as citizens of Christ's kingdom. We need the divine wisdom that is personified in Jesus Christ himself to guide our steps and our relationship to earthly treasures. We need to be reminded to use earthly treasures in order to lay up treasures in heaven, not to seek those earthly treasures as ends in themselves, not to rest our life upon them like the rich fool did when he harvested a bumper crop and after filling his barns sat back on his laurels, as it were, and said, Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Now it's time to relax, to eat, drink, and be merry. That man became a slave to earthly treasures. And in the end, he tasted the bitterness that all who make earthly treasures their king taste. Then whose shall those things be? When you are gone and you can't take them with you. Jesus calls us to remember that for his sake, and on the basis of the life of his life and his substitutionary atoning death upon the cross, we are the children of God. We are heirs of a kingdom that does not pass away. And we are called now, as we live in this world, to prepare to inherit the next. Hence, Jesus calls us to treasure heavenly treasures. And that's the theme for our sermon, called to treasure heavenly treasures. We'll notice first the reason, secondly the calling, and third the manner. Or why, what, and how. The reason, the calling, and the manner of treasuring heavenly treasures. We'll flip the text on its head, as it were, and consider first the reason that Jesus gives in verse 21 for the commandments that he issues in verses 19 and 20. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the reason for Jesus' commands, as is clear from the word for at the beginning of verse 21. The word for indicates that the reason is coming for the words that are placed before that word for. And to get at the sweetness of these words of Jesus for us as his blood-bought citizens of his kingdom, we need to understand what he means when he says and refers to our heart. What is our heart? What is your heart and mine? Jesus is speaking here of idea that is found throughout the scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs, the idea of the heart, as in Proverbs 27, verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. In our text, Jesus uses the word heart in a very different way than our modern way of using it often refers to. In our culture, we often think of our heart as almost equivalent to our feelings. And if someone tells you to follow your heart, they often mean follow your feelings. But Jesus here, and the scriptures more broadly, use the word heart to refer to our entire inner life, the life that goes on inside of us that no one else sees, that is open to God alone. Jesus speaks of our entire inner life as the people of God, as Christians, as the core of our total being, and as the wellspring of all that we do and desire and think and plan and hope for. Jesus likely has in mind here Proverbs 4, verse 23. Where Solomon writes to his son, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it, out of your heart, are all the issues of life. Your heart is like a fountain, and out of that fountain flow all the different streams of your life. Your heart. What Jesus is telling us here in verse 21 is that where our treasure is, there we are with our total being. Where your treasure is, there you are. In your total inner life. And now we come back to the word for, which indicates that what Jesus gives in this verse is a reason for what he says before. He doesn't just give us commands in verses 19 and 20 for the sake of giving commands, because he can do that as our Lord, because he has that authority over our life and over us as human beings. But he gives these commandments for a very specific reason. That is, that he might teach us something about the relationship between what our heart desires and what our heart longs for, and what our heart pants after, and our heart itself. What your heart treasures is where your heart is. In other words, Jesus says, do not be treasuring up treasures on earth, because those desires come from your heart. And if your treasures are in the wrong place, that's a clear indication that your heart is and will be also. On the other hand, if your desires and your longings and your affections are in the right place, there your heart is too. An illustration might be if you're driving down the road and you have a passenger with you in the car and you get into a conversation and you look at the person, your hands will involuntarily turn the direction of the vehicle so that you begin to go in the direction that you are looking, in the direction of that person. And if there's a ditch or oncoming traffic, it can be a very dangerous thing to let your whole being start going in the direction of where your eyes are turned, even though the object, what you are looking at, the passenger who is with you, is a friend or a spouse. We tend to move toward the object that we fix our gaze and attention on. In the same way, our whole lives drift towards those things which are our treasures, like water being drawn into a whirlpool or over the edge of a waterfall. We are drawn toward those things that our attention is fixed on. Jesus gives this instruction in verse 21 as a principle of life, as something that is true for all of his people in all times and in all places, without any exceptions. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this principle that is true for all of his people is like a mirror which Jesus sets up here for us to examine ourselves in. What do we see when we look into this mirror? We see, first of all, who we are by nature and why it is necessary for Jesus to begin by saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, because by nature we are covetous. By nature, we are all rich fools. By nature, we are all those who labor for the meat that perishes, who look around with unsatisfied eyes, wondering how we can take in the whole world, who apply the words of Psalm 36, verse 1 to ourselves. Psalm 36, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. By nature we say, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof, and I will get as much of it as I can for myself. By nature we are corrupt and lovers of money, who say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. By this mirror also, Jesus sets up a reminder of who we are in him, who we are as citizens of his kingdom, whom he has chosen, who he died for, who he renewed by his Holy Spirit, and who he has translated out of the kingdom of darkness and freed from slavery to covetousness, and sin. That's why he can say, lay up treasures in heaven. He's speaking to us as renewed children of God. And he reminds us that as renewed children of God, whose citizenship is not in this world but is in heaven, we are pilgrims and strangers in this life. All that we have, we receive as stewards from God who is the King. This world is not our home. He gives us what we have to use to His glory and praise. If we have this perspective on ourselves and on our life, everything else falls into place. This was behind the lives of the saints that are recorded in a passage like Hebrews 11. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the rest who walked through life as seeing Him who is invisible with their eyes of faith fixed on Jehovah, who looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verse 10. Remembering that they were pilgrims and strangers in a world that was not their home is what made the patriarchs ready to sacrifice all and follow Jehovah's path, because they desired a better country, that is, an heavenly. Hebrews 11, verse 16. Jesus here in verse 21 reminds us that we are stewards of the things that God has given. Our money, our intellect, our education, our homes, our position, our personalities. That we are to use these in the service of the King of Kings, who has loved us with an eternal love and sent His Son to the cross for our sakes, and who has renewed us in His image through the Spirit of Jesus. The reason then that Jesus gives can be turned into a question. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Or to put it another way, who is your God? These words in mind, let's consider now the calling that Jesus gives in verses 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus here is both making a statement and he is issuing a command. He's telling us that it's possible that we lay up treasures on earth and in heaven. And at the same time, he is saying, do not be treasuring earthly treasures, but be laying up, be treasuring heavenly treasures. Once again, Jesus does not just give commands without reasons, although he has the authority to do that as our Lord, but he gives us considerations in relation to what he says. And those considerations are found in what he says about earthly things and about heavenly things. Earthly things are those which moth and rust doth corrupt, and which thieves can break through and steal from you. Heavenly treasures are things which are beyond the reach of moth and rust, and which it is impossible for thieves to break through and take from you. Let's first consider the earthly treasures that Jesus calls us not to lay up. The words of verse 19 were highly relevant words to Jesus' hearers, because they lived in a world where clothes were considered part of one's wealth, and where there was always the danger that one had not packed one's clothes well enough, but left them exposed to the moth to make a meal out of. They were people who were subsistence farmers, who lived more hand to mouth than we understand, even those of us who are farmers, who gathered what they needed, who planted what they needed for their family, who were totally dependent on the weather, and who, once those crops were gathered into barns, had no guarantee that rats and mice and mold and worms would not get to that food before they did. And who thus counted it a great success if their stores lasted for a long time. Finally, gold and precious metals were something of value in the ancient world as they are now. And there were no such things as banks or savings accounts where people could store their wealth. They would bury it beneath their homes or in a field, as Jesus' parable of the treasure in a field indicates. But the problem was that thieves could easily break through and steal all of that treasure. The houses of those days, of course, were not what we have, but they were made out of clay bricks that, even when dried by the sun, were relatively easy for thieves to chip through and then to depart with all the family wealth in their possession. Jesus reminds his hearers that the accumulation of earthly treasures is a very precarious enterprise because of the natural processes of decay and deterioration, and because we live in a fallen world. Decay and deterioration are a reality in this world. Natural processes of breaking down, of things falling apart, of molecules breaking down and dissipating, happens in this world. And no burglar alarms or rust-preventing paint is going to stop them. Furthermore, the sinfulness of man means that none of our possessions are safe. Even if we have our savings securely in a bank, that is no guarantee that they are safe from fraudsters and unscrupulous people. By laying it out like this, Jesus reminds us too that the fact that treasures on earth break down, decay, or can be stolen is due to our sin. There's a reason why there's decay in the world. There's a reason why things fall apart. There's a reason why there are unscrupulous and depraved people who will take from others even to the last penny or the last grain. That is because we live in a world that is under God's curse for the sin of man. And no earthly treasure is safe. But Jesus doesn't intend for treasure to be limited to physical things that we might possess, to clothing or food or our gold and silver or our cash money or our homes or our cars. We need to understand He means for treasure to be taken as broadly as possible. It includes money. But He's speaking here of something much more important than money. He's speaking about our attitude toward everything in this world, everything in this life. How do we view the things of this life? What is our relationship to our wealth? Hence, He warns us against focusing on our ambitions and our interests and pinning our hopes on anything that is bound to this life. Even if you and I can honestly stand before the Word of God tonight and say, money isn't a problem for me. It doesn't attract me. I'm not covetous for money. There is something else that could be a sinful treasure. Let's look at some of those. The desire for acceptance and inclusion by others. The desire to get in with a certain crowd. Or to be popular in the eyes of a certain group of people. Something that all of us struggle with. The desire for our lives to return to a certain place and time where they were before A, B, and C happened to ourselves or to our loved ones. Family can be a treasure. It is not wrong to treasure family. We who believe the truth of God's covenant with believers and their children and with the Christian community of the body of Christ know what it is to treasure family. And what a blessing family is. But it is wrong to treasure family at the expense of everything else, or to treasure certain members of the family at expense of others. We can even make having as little as possible a treasure that we set our heart upon. In our society of McMansions and acquisition, being a minimalist or living in a tiny home can easily become a treasure. Simply to not want to have a big house or an abundance of knickknacks, but to live the simple life is not what Jesus has in mind in our text. How many of our treasures do not have to do with the future or the past? A promotion at work, achieving financial stability in our family, paying off our college debt and loan, a higher paying job, or the memory of a happy time in the past. All of these can be treasures that are just as deadly as the covetous accumulation of wealth. In other words, if anything in this world is everything to you, Jesus is saying, that is your treasure. This is an urgent word that Jesus gives to us because all earthly treasures will pass away. Even what endures to the end of the world will perish. Even if our clothes and our food and our riches escape the moth and mold and the thief, it will pass away one day when, as 2 Peter 3 verse 10 says, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Treasure of our family will pass away. That doesn't mean we won't see the believing members of our family again. We hope to see them in heaven. We know that we will see them on the other shore. But sooner or later, the treasure of family also passes from this life. Job understood that. When he said after he had lost everything in one day, his animals, his riches, and all 10 of his children, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." The preacher in Ecclesiastes, Solomon in all his glory, who Jesus speaks of in Matthew 6, verse 29, looked at his glory, at his riches, at the palaces he built, at the temple he constructed, at the wealth he accumulated, at the table, at the food that he ate every day, at the fields where it grew and the orchards where it was harvested. And he called it all vanity. Not because those things were useless in themselves, but they were vanity in the sense that they would all pass away. They were not enduring. They were temporal. They were here today and gone tomorrow. Even if moths and rust and mildew and rats and mice and thieves spare our goods and possessions in this life, and God gives us strength to maintain good relationships in our homes and families and in the church, and we do gain access to that group of people which we so desperately want to get in with, nothing we can take with us. None of these endures beyond the grave. Even marriage, says Jesus, will not be in heaven what it is on earth. It will not even be in heaven. Like the leaves that are now falling under the weight of the snow, all earthly treasures will pass away. Therefore, Jesus said, do not treasure heavenly treasures, for then you treasure a mist. You treasure that which cannot satisfy, which does not endure, which will leave you empty when it is all gone. But Jesus says, now, in this life, be laying up treasures in heaven. In this life, already now, as citizens of a kingdom that is not of this world, whose builder and maker is God, be laying up treasures in heaven. Be preparing in this life to inherit the world which is to come. Some people have misinterpreted what Jesus is saying in verse 20 as Jesus teaching us that we are to try to earn or achieve our own salvation. Treasures in heaven is supposed to mean a person's salvation and their eternal destiny. So that Jesus is saying, spend your whole life in this world making sure of your eternal destiny, trying to get into the next. We know that that is the wrong interpretation of these words of Christ, because that threatens the whole gospel that we hold dear. It undermines the whole truth of our being justified and righteous in the sight of God by faith alone, by the gift that God gives us of faith in Christ, and not by what we do in this life. Jesus cannot mean this either, because he is speaking in our text and in the whole Sermon on the Mount to people who were characterized by the Beatitudes that he gives at the beginning of the sermon in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. And those Beatitudes begin in Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are the people that Jesus' words are for. Those who are poor in themselves, who are spiritually poor, who recognize, as we all do, that we are spiritually bankrupt. That we have nothing to bring to God. That we have not even the possibility in our own hearts and lives of manufacturing anything that would even come close to being acceptable with God to gain us entrance into the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus' word for us who receive from God the righteousness that is his own, and with it everything that is necessary for salvation. Jesus is not teaching here that we make our own way to heaven. But he is teaching, beloved, that we are positively rewarded in eternity according to the way we live our lives here on earth. Let me say that again. Jesus is teaching us here that we are positively rewarded in eternity according to the way we live our lives here on earth. Now let me explain that, first of all, by saying Jesus is not saying that we are rewarded in eternity on the basis of the way that we live our lives on this earth. We receive the reward of heaven on the basis of the finished work and cross of Jesus Christ alone. He earned heaven for us. He opened the way by his death and resurrection through the grave into the everlasting kingdom of glory. And he opened that way for us personally when, by his Spirit, he came into our hearts and he renewed us and he brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of covetousness and devotion to the earthly treasures that pass away and into his kingdom of light. We are not rewarded in eternity on the basis of the way we live our lives on earth, but we are rewarded in eternity according to the way we live our lives here on earth. Because the way we live our lives on earth as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, as those who lay up treasures in heaven, is not our work at all, but it is the work of God's grace in through us that he recognizes when we come before him. And what are those treasures of heaven that are beyond the reach of moth and rust and thieves who can break through and steal? Again, we need to think very broadly about all the spiritual treasures and riches that we have in Christ Jesus. your election, beloved. God's choice of you in eternity. His knowing you in love and by name before the world began. That guaranteed you a place in heaven and in God's eternal kingdom before this earth or the place that we call heaven was created by the Word of God. Do you treasure that? Do you treasure the gift of God, of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who emptied Himself of the glory that He had with His Father as the second person of the Holy Trinity, who willingly became poor with not even a place to lay His head that He might work for us a weight of glory that will never pass away. Do you treasure the Lord Jesus not just for what He did, but for who He is as the Son of God, as the mediator of God's covenant with us, as the one in whom is found all unsearchable riches? Do you treasure Christ and His work and His person? Do you treasure the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit who Jesus sends into your heart to establish faith there that ties you in a living connection with your Savior in heaven, a tie that can never be broken, a channel through which the blessings of salvation come without let up? And with renewed abundance every day, treasure the Spirit and the gift of faith? Do you treasure the hope that you have as a child of God? A hope that does not make ashamed or pass away because it is founded on earthly things, but a hope that is in the heavens. A hope that is laid up for you in glory, where Christ is now preparing the mansions that He will come again to bring you into in His time and in His way. Do you treasure that you have the forgiveness of your sins every day when you hold up the mirror of the Word of God and all your covetousness and all the times that you began to treasure earthly things and made the accumulation of wealth or paying off a loan or your family everything in your life at that moment and in that day? Do you treasure the forgiveness of your sins? Do you treasure the power of the Spirit that gives you the ability to turn from those sins of laying up treasures on earth to laying up treasures in heaven? And living in this life as you prepare for the next. Along with that, beloved, goes treasuring the causes of God's kingdom and the labor that He gives us every day to glorify Him with the talents and abilities that He's given us. Do you treasure the labor that He gives your hands and your minds every day in which you can serve the Lord Jesus and serve the members of His body? Do you treasure the ability to give to the causes of the kingdom of Christ, to support the poor with your gifts, to support the school as we did tonight, to support the cause of missions throughout the world, to support the seminary and its work of training men to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ? Jesus said through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor hope in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Beloved, if I had to summarize in one word the treasure that Jesus is talking about in verse 20, it would be, do you treasure God? Jehovah, the living God, who does give us richly all things to enjoy and to use for His kingdom and glory. But now, so to speak, the million-dollar question, how do we treasure heavenly treasures and not treasures on earth? That brings us back to the principle. That brings us back to where we started. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Realizing this, there are five questions that I want to give you very briefly. Five questions to ask yourselves and your children to determine where your treasure is and where your heart is. Number one, what occupies your thoughts when you're not thinking or doing anything else? What do you daydream about? Your investments, your home, having more time off, taking vacation, or heaven? An old preacher said we should think about heaven 20 minutes every day, and if we did, our lives would be that much more heavenly. What do you think about when you are not thinking or doing anything else? Second, what are the things that you fret or worry or are anxious about the most? Is it your home or your clothes or your vehicle? Is it having the kind of family that you look around and seeing everyone else in church appearing to have? Or is it whether today you treasured heavenly things as much as Jesus calls you to do? Number three, apart from your loved ones, what do you dread losing the most? What would you give, short of your life itself, to hold on to keep in your possession? Number four, what are the things that you and I measure others by? We tend to measure others by what we value most. Do you measure others by their families, by their membership in this or that congregation, by their education, by their homes, by their athletic abilities, by their popularity at school? Or by the wisdom that they show in their lives as they look toward the next? Finally, number five, what is it that you know you cannot be happy without? Where is your heart, beloved? Is it on earthly treasure? And you can be sure that sooner or later it will pass away. You yourself may be saved in the day of days because your name is written in the book of life. But if you build on the foundation of Christ with wood and hay and straw, it will be burned up. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. We find that our treasure is on earth. Christ Jesus in His mercy calls us to repent, to turn from those treasures, and to look by faith to Him. To look by faith to our eternal Heavenly Father who exists changeless, who will roll up the sky one day as a garment to create a new heavens and a new earth, who calls us to worship Him with all that we are and with all that He has given us, and to hope in the riches of His mercy, who calls us in this life to pursue Him without spot and blameless, in peace, seeing that ye know these things, says 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by laying up treasure where He is, and where one day we will be also, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We repent of our covetousness and our sin of treasuring earthly things above the things of Thy kingdom and glory. Justify us by declaring to us that our Lord Jesus covers these sins by His blood too. And put in us a zeal for Him and for Thee, our Heavenly Father, and for our relationship to Thee, and for those things that belong to Thy kingdom and glory. Jesus' name.